It's funny, the other night, maybe Monday night, I was up here, and little Manasseh had these glasses, like these solar glasses. Have you guys seen those? Like, yeah, and he was wearing them around, like, you know, running into stuff, and he handed them to me. He said, wear them. I put them on. I'd never worn them. I realized, like, the thing was completely pitch black. You couldn't see anything out of it. So it's kind of interesting. And so then he took me and said, hey, go look at the sun. So I went and looked at the sun. You could actually look at the sun with the glasses on. And so it was really interesting when I was wearing them, though. Like, I'm bumping into stuff. My vision was blocked. And so it was limited because of the lens that I had on. And so the lens I was looking on had an effect on my vision and therefore had an effect on my ability to kind of move around. And so tonight I want to talk to you partially about the fact that when we wear certain lenses and look at things a certain way, it will mess with how we see things. And so the lenses we wear and the perspective we have can completely change the way we see things. So as human beings, we have this lens that we look through, right? Like, of course, we look with our physical human vision. We do that, but I'm talking about something deeper than that. I'm talking about how we process the things around us. Because, listen, the experiences that we have, the things that happen to us, the things that we go through, all of it will shape how we see things and therefore also how we approach things. For me, I love milkshakes. Anybody love milkshakes here? That's right. There we go. And so we've been here almost a year. In 2 weeks, we'll be here a full year, which is crazy. But when we first moved here, I'm like, I got to find a milkshake. Went to Baskin Robbins. I'm like, that's my milkshake place. And so now I've been, I kid you not, Jacob, how many times have we been to get milkshakes at Baskin Robbins? 20, 30 times since we've lived here. Anna said 50. I don't go once a week. I don't know. Maybe I do. A lot. 22 times. Okay, he's keeping track. So anyway, so really what happened, I went in there one time, I realized I liked it, had a good experience, and therefore I kind of said, okay, that's something I like, and then it changed the way I wanted to go every time. And so some things are like that, right, where we kind of base how we see things, all right? I saw a good milkshake, I liked it, I wanted more of that, so I go back. So that's kind of a lighthearted way of trying to get this idea across that, you know, our experiences can impact how we view things and therefore how we see life. So here's the good news for us, though, right? God has in mind for us that he wants to give us the right frame of mind and the right frame of looking at things. And here's a couple of places where God talks about that. I'll just list it off real quick. So there are three places in the Bible. What God mentions is that he wants to do good things in our life. And he says that he wants to take his word and write it in our hearts, right? So now we're talking about more than like liking a milkshake. We're talking about experiencing God in such a way that he writes his word on our hearts. So think about that for a minute. The good that God has for you, the good that he is, like the rivers of living water that God has for you, the hope and peace. He doesn't want you just to know about that. He wants to take it and write it on your heart. Imagine God like engraving life into your heart. And so when it talks about your heart there, it's not talking about just something you think. It's talking about getting to the core of your very being, getting to the core of who you are, right? So that's what God wants to do in our lives. But here's the challenge, is that sometimes the wrong thing can be written on our hearts. Sometimes the wrong thing can be written on our hearts. Sometimes there's things that are said to us that are hurtful. Sometimes we go through experiences or grow up in a situation that is really, really difficult. And sometimes things are said over us that are hard, right? And that hurt. And the challenge is sometimes it goes here, right? And then it actually finds a way of getting deeper into our hearts. And the next thing you know, for instance, if somebody said something to you really hurtful, let's say you were trying to read in class and you had a hard time reading and kids started making fun of you when you were young, and you hear that and process that, and instead of just going in your ear, you hear it, you actually take it in. And it hits in a different spot, and it hits your heart. And that idea can be written on your heart. An idea like, you know, maybe at that point in time, that person would be thinking, I'm not smart enough. I'm not going to cut it. Everyone's smarter than me. No one likes me because I'm not smart. And these ideas go from ideas in our mind to these things that we wear and get absolutely written on our hearts. And they can be very hurtful and can have a very bad effect on us. So listen, something is going to be written on your heart. it's either going to be thoughts from God that he has for you, or it's going to be thoughts that are not good for you and things that God doesn't want you to think. And so Ephesians chapter 1 says this. Paul prays for the Ephesian people, and he says, he asks that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. So I just want to talk about that phrase, the eyes of your heart. And basically, when I see that the eyes of your heart, well, your heart doesn't physically and literally have eyes on it, but what Paul is talking about here is the fact that your heart, the core of your being, who you are, can almost be like this lens that you wear, right? Where we can actually look at the world out away from us through our heart. And so again, think about hurtful words, hurtful situations, things that make you feel down. You end up believing that stuff about yourself or about other people. You end up wounded. Next thing you know, it hits your heart. It's written on your heart. The wrong thing is written on your heart. And then here we see that it's almost like the eyes of our heart. We now look out the world around us, and we can completely misinterpret ourselves and the world around us in situations. And this is part of what I went through as a kid. So by nature, you guys didn't know me growing up. I was introverted. I mean, I just didn't talk to people at all. I was just scared of people or shy or all of it combined. And so I grew up in school and really withdrawn and reserved. And then what happened is a couple times, like, people made fun of you, right? I'm sure everybody here has had that happen. A couple times people make fun of me. Well, sure enough, people must not want to be around me, so I pull back more. Then I have a couple things happen with bullying, right? Public shaming and stuff like that socially. Pull back more. Next thing you know, things are being written on my heart. Things that people say, things that people do. And instead of just being words that somebody says, it is now etched in stone in my heart to where I'm believing that other people are better, everybody else is better than me. No one wants to be my friend. No one wants me to be around. These things have become written on my heart. The wrong things are being written on my heart. And that what happens when things get written in our heart, it becomes that lens that we look through. And so maybe that's happened to somebody, some of you out there. It probably has, right? Maybe not that example. Maybe it's something else where there's been something incredibly hurtful said to you, done to you, something you've experienced to where now you feel that wound. And now when you look out at the world around you, you've formed where you think you fit in society. You have formed where you think your future might go, all based off of what somebody said to you. You guys see what I'm talking about? How that can happen, how that process can play out? So the wrong things can absolutely get written on our hearts. And the thing about that is, whenever the wrong thing gets written in our heart, it doesn't just affect how we see, it affects how we act as well. And this is Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says this. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So we're talking about the wrong things being written on our heart. We're talking about the eyes of our heart and the way we see things. And now we see this verse in Proverbs, guard your heart, because everything you do flows from it. It's not just a thing about how you feel, but wherever your heart is, your actions are going to follow. You will largely do whatever is coming from your heart. In Luke 6, verse 45, Jesus says this, what you say flows from what is in your heart. That's another example, right? The things that are being etched on your heart or written on your heart, whether good or bad, your actions and the things you do are an outflow of that. And so this is kind of what happened to me. Like I mentioned, I was like 10 years old and already the wrong things written on my heart, already thinking I've just got to withdraw more and more from people. And so that's what I did. I didn't think anyone wanted me around, other people my age. So I pull back even more, and this thing starts snowballing, because then I just make myself an outsider by not trying to befriend people. And so then that became more and more hurtful. And so then as I become a teenager, I start saying, well, this is painful. I feel all alone. I feel so isolated. So I started drinking, because I forgot about it when I drank. Teenage years progress. I would be drunk at school half the time, and then started doing hard drugs when I was right out of high school, and went down this path. Guys, I have a couple stories I'll share at some point, almost dying, like stuff that was really serious, right? And God brought me through some of that stuff. But listen, it all started because I allowed the wrong things to be written on my heart. I didn't allow God to rewrite my heart, tonight, God wants to rewrite some things on your hearts and turn your life around through it. God has better for you. He has life for you. He wants to write the right things in your heart. And so what might have happened to you and what might be written on your heart right now? How might the things that have been written on your heart be affecting how you live? Do you find that some things are written on your heart that are painful, and you find yourself, some kid just tries to annoy you at school and you just snap and you get violent with him right away? Listen, it's from an overflow of our heart that we take and do actions that aren't healthy. Do you find your mom telling you, hey, you know, you haven't cleaned your room, and you snap back at her, you get mad? An overflow from our heart is where these actions come from. Do you find, you know, you name it, there's a number of things. Do you find that, you know, maybe young when you were younger, you weren't accepted by people, and now you're so desperate to be accepted, you don't want to feel the pain of being rejected, that you'll join the group when they vape. You'll go out with them. You'll hit the vape with them because you don't want to be secluded. You don't want to be isolated from them. The wrong thing is written on your heart. And when the wrong thing is written on our heart and we're living by it, we act out in ways that aren't healthy for us. And so I've lived in it. And it sounds like I'm sure plenty of you have lived in that. And so what do we do about it? Well, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says this. So all of us have had that veil removed, can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. That's 2 Corinthians 3:18. And so I want to kind of go through that phrase by phrase. And the first part is all of us, all right? So that means everybody. Look around and say, everybody. Everybody. That's all you guys. That's all of us, right? So it's this verse, when you read that, it means you, it means me. All right, everybody say, this verse means me. We have had the veil removed. All right, y'all probably don't know what that means. But back in Old Testament times, there was a veil that was there. And, you know, it was the Holy of Holies where people couldn't go because of sin in their life, right? And it was a place where you couldn't actually go be in the presence of God. And so when Jesus died, on the day he died, the veil was torn. And what this means is the veil being removed means this. It means that all of us have access to the presence of God. That is such a good thing. I am so thankful that I can just say the name of Jesus and start talking to him, and instantly his presence can come around me. Game changer. Absolute game changer. So we have all had that veil removed. Now we can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And so what that means is that when we have these encounters with the Lord, we can meet with him and things can change. He can take the wrong things. Imagine the wrong thing written on your heart, right? And you're encountering the glory of the Lord. That is the presence of God. That is a God who sees you and loves you. That is a God who, listen, we can try to erase things on our own. God has the ultimate eraser to rewrite the things on your heart. It's this God who created you and who is seen. Anything bad written on your heart, he already knows it. He already knows who caused it. He already knows the person who said that thing to you or that thing you have to go through. Some of you may have to go back home into something, and you're going to have more hard things written on your heart. God already sees you and loves you in the middle of that and wants to be with you in the middle of that. It's this God, and it says that we reflect the glory of God. We come in contact and encounter him. And what God can do for us in that moment when we encounter him is a transformation. And so it says, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, and then it's going to talk about him making us more and more like him. But let's focus on that one part. It says, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, he does the work of rewriting our heart. He does the work of transformation. And this is really important, because I can't tell you how many times before God had to come in and rewrite my heart, how many times I tried to rewrite it myself. How many times I try to address the own things written on my heart, I try to take my own eraser and try to erase it through fitting in with people, through saying the thing that I thought would sound good, lowering my standards, getting in bad relationships when I was younger, getting in bad friendships when I was younger, trying to erase my own heart, trying to erase the own things and make them feel better. But here's the bad part. Every time I try to do that, more tough things are written on my heart. It doesn't work that way. It snowballs on us. And so this verse says, the Lord, who is the Spirit, he is the one. He is the only one who can really rewrite your heart. He is the one that has the source of life and can heal you. And it says that he makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. And here's what that means, is that when we come in contact and encounter God in various ways, what he is doing is he is bit by bit transforming our lives. You know, when we come to this altar and we have these encounters with God, God does a lot of things, right? But a lot of times what God does, this work of rewriting things in our heart, a lot of times it's not an instant thing. It's a thing that God does over time. He does over time. And that's why it says we are changed more and more like him. There's another version of this that says we're changed from glory to glory. In other words, encounter after encounter with God, we're changed. For me, my change, part of it was instant. When I gave my life to the Lord, he did some things that I was like, wow, God lifted some heaviness that was in my life. I felt completely different and all that. But I still had some temptation to work through, and I still had some things written in my heart that weren't erased right away. God erased some of it, but a lot of it I had to work through. We had to work through, me and the Lord together, and we worked through it as I had encounter after encounter with him. I'll give you an example of that, how everything wasn't just erased right away. So remember, a lot of what I went through was this social stuff where I just felt less than everybody, inferior and just withdrawn. And so I'm saved. I get saved about a year. I feel called to ministry. I go to Bible college. And at Bible college, I was in this one class my freshman year, and they would go down the roll, and to open each class each day, they would have somebody pray. And they started like with A's, Anderson, and then Brown, and then all the way down the list. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, I'm going to have to pray in front of people. Because guys, listen, I was still introverted. I still just felt, you know, scared of those situations. And so I remember like palms being sweaty leading up to this and thinking, okay, now they're getting to Sanders. I don't remember ever praying out loud in front of people. And all these thoughts are going through my mind about, oh, people are going to judge me. I'm not going to sound good. I'm going to feel so humiliated. Why is that? Because there were still things written in my heart that God didn't instantly heal when I got saved. And God had to heal those things glory after I encountered him. And so, truth be told, what I did wasn't good in that situation. Is when it got down like Sanders, Stanton, you know what I did? This is embarrassing. I started skipping class. I was that terrified to pray just to say a prayer in front of people. Because the things that are written on our heart, even though we don't realize it sometimes, it can absolutely freeze us and cripple us if we let it. And that's why it's so important to encounter God. And so when we see from glory to glory, thank God, like he helped me from glory to glory, encountering him and then stepping out a little bit and letting him heal me. He obviously got me to where I can pray in front of people. But I say all that to give you a little hope. Wherever you are right now, God can rewrite your heart. God can rewrite it. And he does it through encounter after encounter with him. So I want to bring something up real quick. Actually, Jamie, could you come help me real quick? If you want to set that up. Hang tight real quick. All right, thank you. That was a commercial break. All right. So I want to kind of give you a picture of what this can be like for us as we just go through life, right? All right, as we go through life. No, sorry. I know everyone wants to throw one in, sorry. As we go through life, things happen, right? Things that are hurtful to us. And so, you know, maybe sometimes no fault on our own, we have things said to us that are hurtful. And those hurtful things, again, they go in our ears. We believe them. Next thing you know, it's written on our heart. Maybe somebody says something to us about how we look. Next thing you know, this jar represents us. This represents the thing they say, and it gets written on our heart. It's got a funny sound to it. You know, maybe another time we go out for a sports team or something. We don't make it. And next thing you know what? Maybe I'm not athletic after all. Maybe I'm not meant to do things athletically. Start feeling bad because everyone else can do it. We get in a home situation where, you know, it's just really tough. Mean things are said to us. Mean things are spoken over us. And time goes on and we start believing those things about ourselves. Those things are written on our heart. We go home to somebody who drinks a lot and alcoholic. Their dad was an alcoholic. And so the idea is everybody in my line of family is an alcoholic. And what's written on our heart is, you know what? I guess I'll probably grow up to be an alcoholic too. Written on our heart. Maybe something happened to you and somebody made fun of the way you look. And so you start believing, you know what? I guess I don't look great. I don't look great at all. We wear that on our heart and we start getting in bad relationships we shouldn't be in. It's written on our heart. List goes on and on. You guys get the idea. Things are said over us that are absolutely hurtful. And the next thing you know, as we look around, our heart and our life is absolutely filled up with these thoughts and ideas that stick to us. And because they stick to us, when we look out at the world, we now believe those things about ourselves. I'm not going to be good enough. People don't want me around. I need to isolate. And those things turn into actions. You know what? I'm going to get violent. People picking on me, I'm going to show them. I'm going to show up for the fight. I'm going to start a fight. Teachers don't believe in me, fine. I won't do any of my homework. My parents say things to me they shouldn't say. You know what? I'm not doing anything they say. I'm not going to do anything at all. And next thing you know, our lives get filled up with these ideas and thoughts that are written on our heart. Written on our heart. And it ends up taking us down a course that God doesn't have for us. Let me tell you, God has better for you than for the things like this to stay where they are. He doesn't want to leave you the way you are. He wants to come and rewrite some things today. And so what we find in that verse in 2 Corinthians 3 is that, you can throw that back up, Cody. That verse talks about the fact that we can be transformed. That word transformed isn't in this, it's on some of the other versions, but that we're transformed from glory to glory. Listen, if you keep filling your life up with other stuff, trying to self-medicate and trying to help yourself, it won't make the hurt in your heart get better. It will make this more and more full of the bad things written on your heart. Because listen, only God filling your life with himself can rewrite what's on your heart. He's the only one that can do it. And how does he do that? He does that encounter after encounter with him. The verse says, from glory to glory. And what that means is that, you know, you read your Bible a little bit. Does it feel like much changed? This stuff's still there, right? And it's like, okay, I read. I don't feel anything happening. How many of you have ever opened the Bible and like, I don't even know what I just read? Like, what? You know, sometimes we read and we don't feel like anything is happening. But I want to encourage you, when you just expose yourself to the Word of God, there's a little bit more God in there than there was when you started, all right? So open yourself up to the Word of God. You say, you know what? I could stay home tonight. It's Wednesday night church. I could stay home. I'm going to go to youth instead. Fill a little bit more of your cup, right? A little bit more with God. Next thing you know, you're like, all right, God's starting to work in my life a little bit. I got these friends that are no good. I know these friends are bad for me. I got some friends from church here Wednesday night I can start hanging out with. And so you decide you're going to cut off some of the bad friends, start hanging out with some of the better friends. God starts filling your cup more. That's a big one, guys. Watch the friends you hang out with. Watch the friends you hang out with. And so now your cup is starting to get full. Some things are still written on your heart because it takes time, guys. Be patient with God. It takes time. But you say, you know what? I'm going to start pressing in. I'm going to make sure I have a devotional time every day. I'm going to make sure I have time for God. I'm not trying to check a box. There are some days, boy, I'm so tired by the time I get to my devotion, or I'll wake up so tired when I start my devotion that, yeah, I'm getting through it. But I am making the attempt to not check a box in my devotion. I'm trying to really, really spend time with Jesus, right? And as you do that, that is such a big deal. Next thing you know, some things start falling. You start sensing some healing. You start seeing things a little bit different. Wait a minute. You know, I've always thought that I was no good. I always thought nobody wanted to be around me. maybe I'm just seeing things wrong. Maybe that's not it at all. Maybe I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Maybe I'm made in the image of God and I've got Jesus living in me. You know? And so God starts rewiring and replacing these thoughts with right thoughts. But it doesn't happen as you avoid God. It happens as you let God encounter you. And so you keep pushing forward. You know what? At youth group on Wednesday, I don't care if no one else is raising their hands. I'm going to worship. Your worship is a weapon, guys. Your worship is a weapon. Because here's what happens. We get in these things that feel so heavy for us, and it feels like the world is crushing us. But when you make up your mind, I don't care who's watching, I'm going to worship. I'm going to turn my eyes to Jesus. What happens is your eyes now, everything else, all your other problems get smaller, and the magnificence of God and the incredible nature of God becomes so big in your mind that these problems start feeling not as big. You start having faith and believing, God's going to see me through my problems. More crud starts falling off your heart. God's taken this eraser, imagine this giant eraser on your heart, and he's starting to etch off those things. And he's saying, no, that's not true. What you've always thought isn't true. I love you, and I see you, and I want to know you. And he's erasing the things that once completely flooded your heart. Those things are completely, completely gone over time. Does it happen overnight? And listen, if I'm being honest, I still have moments that some of the things are written in my heart a long time ago. Man, I'm feeling that. I'll tell you the truth. What happens sometimes I get socially awkward, you know? And sometimes it goes back to some of the things that were etched on my heart a long, long time ago. And what I do, I say, you know what? Okay, I feel that. I'm just going to keep going to Jesus and keep going to Jesus and keep flooding my life with him. And as I do that, he fills his life with more of me. If I'm filling my life with gossip, if I'm filling my life with watching bad things on YouTube shorts that I shouldn't watch, if I'm filling my life with vaping, none of this stuff is coming out. More of them are being put in, all right? So you guys, it's all about filling your life with more and more of Jesus. So I want everybody to stand up. God, we just thank you so much that you are the one. You're the one that can rewrite our hearts. And God, we're just going to pause right now. And we're going to put our full focus on you. Our full focus on your word. And what you said to us tonight. And God, I know this is a word that you gave me to share with these teens. And if you did that, then there has to be people in this room that needed to hear it. And people here that you want to meet with tonight. And so, God, I ask above everything else that you would meet with students here tonight. That you would begin to erase some of the things that they have believed about themselves that are leading them down a bad road of behavior and only making things worse. So with every eye closed tonight, I just want to ask this question. Maybe you're here and you know that you're running from God. You know that there are things between you and God where you've been not wanting to give these things up. You've been wanting to hold on to things for yourself and not surrender that to God and not walk with God. You're putting other things ahead of God. And tonight you want to make that decision and say, you know what, tonight's the night. I'm not going to go in circles with God anymore. I'm not going to go round and around. I want to put my foot in the ground and say, tonight's my night. I want to give it all to Jesus. If that is you, just raise your hand. All right, I see those hands. God, we just thank you for these who raised their hands. And God, I ask that you would do that work in their heart tonight, Lord, that you would surround them, that God, you would meet with them, and that you would change things for good in their life. God, give them a fresh start and a renewal tonight. And if you raise your hand, I'll come find you in the altar in a little bit. I'll make sure to meet with you and pray with you. I want to also ask this for everybody here as well. If you know in your heart right now there are some things written, and you know God needs to rewrite some things, if you would just raise your hand right now. Hands are going up all over the place. If your hand is up right now, I want to ask you to come on down. We want to surround you. We want to pray for you. And God wants to meet with you down here, guys. God has things he wants to do in this room tonight. And so I'm going to ask you, come on up if you raise your hand. Come on up. Don't be shy about it. Come down here expecting God to do something. And if you're an adult, any adult in this room, feel free to come surround a teen. Come surround a teen and pray for them. Cry out to God on their behalf. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that you're in this place and that you are rewriting hearts in this moment. This is a holy moment we give to you. And I ask all throughout this room that chains would break. There would be freedom from things that have been spoken over people. That there would be healing for things that are deeply embedded. God, do it right now. We know that you're going to do it right now. And rewrite your truth. Rewrite your truth onto hearts. And we're going to give you the thanks for it.